He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Tuesday, March 24th on 1430 ESPN, Central Valley sports leader. And we are rolling for the next 2 hours before yours truly has to fight the traffic down the 99 to get to Kingsburg and call a high school baseball game tonight between Kingsburg and CVC. That's coming up in just a matter of hours. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch between CVC and Kingsburg. Myself and Paul Metters on the call for our first high school baseball game of the spring season, as we will have a game each week throughout for you to enjoy and listen to. We are live, we are here, and we have some great opportunities for you, the listener, to win some stuff on this show today. That's right. I'll get into that a little bit later in our program. Talking a lot of different things, baseball, hockey, basketball, and, of course, Fresno State in the conversation as well. We got Paul Leffler lined up in the second hour at 4:15. You want to listen to him, he'll be joining us there at 4:15 or so, the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs. If you want to get in on the conversation, and this is an important number to know, Lee's Air Hotline is how you reach us, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on our show, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on our show. Lee's Air weather check sitting at 85 degrees, a little bit warm today. With the sun out as well. Feels like 86, a little 36% humidity. And we'll be hovering around those 80s, kind of get up to a pretty decent 88 on Sunday. And then guess what, folks? The hammer drops next week, getting down to the 70s. And dare I say, and this is the weatherman's worst nightmare, 56 degrees projected for next Thursday and some rain. I see rain projected at least 50%. Starting next Monday for the next 4 days next week. So who knows what's in store for the weather. It could very much change as we roll along. But this warmth, this hot, someone say, temperatures we've been feeling the last couple weeks, say sayonara to that. Get your sweatshirts out. You thought you put them away for good. that ain't happening. April's going to bring in some cooler weather. So looking forward to this show today. Of course, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here on 1430 ESPN. You can listen to my show from 3 to 6 p.m., the Behind the Bench program hosted by yours truly, Phil Bonatti, here on this wonderful weekday. Also, Paul Metters Show, the Central Valley Sports Report live from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports. All that can be listened to on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website, the ESPN Fresno app as well. Also, a reminder, we are live streaming video-wise here on the YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch platforms, ESPN Fresno, where you can find us there as well. Good to be here. Good to be rocking and rolling on this Tuesday. Going to be a fun show. Like I said, a lot of different conversation. And but before we get to anything else, I want to bring in the producer for today just to say hi and how he's doing. Of course, he's over behind the glass. Jorge is here. Jorge, how are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
We're doing good, Phil. We're doing good.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah. You excited about tomorrow? Giants baseball?
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited for baseball season.
What's your temperature on the Giants season this next year? You optimistic? What's the temp? You're feeling warm? You feeling cool on the Giants?
Temperature?
Yeah. What's the hot feeling?
It's always hot. My
fuego.
Neck of the woods.
On fuego. They won 10-2 over the Sultanes de Monterrey last night.
Yeah, they got in a fight or something.
Did they get in a fight? I didn't watch that part.
It was more like the...
A kerfuffle?
The manager for the Sultanes.
Yeah.
He started yelling something at manager of the Giants.
Vitolo? So we're already off to game one-ish.
Yeah.
Game negative two.
That was weird.
And Tony Vitello is already getting a little anguish from the manager of the Sultanes de Monterrey, which was... I found that game very fascinating. Willy Adames was my favorite character of the game last night because he hit that homer. And then there was another situation where a strike was called. Or no, a ball was called. It was well outside. And the Sultanes catcher ABS challenges. And Willy Adames is so caught off guard on the challenge being implemented that he looked back at the catcher and just gave him this like, "You serious, bro?" It was way outside, and it was, by definition, very outside. I don't know what the catcher was thinking when he caught the ball. So, good to see the ABS going the right way for the Giants. At least the Giants seem to know the strike zone right now in the at-bats. Bryce Eldridge had a massive home run last night as well. Maybe I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about Willy Adames' chances this year to be a little bit better. You know, 30 home runs was nice, but the average certainly feels like it could get up a little bit better as well. And warrant the amount of money he's getting. But anyways, Jorge, you're excited, of course, for this season, and I'm excited for what this Giants season could bring because there's a lot of optimism, a lot of hope, because this team feels like it's underperformed the last couple of years relative to what its talent level is and the amount of money that's being spent on players on this roster. A new coach coming in, no more Bob Melvin, Tony Vitello's in, and I'm sure a lot of people are excited to see what this Giants team can be. And thankfully for Giants fans, you do not have to wait as long as any other of the teams out there and fan bases out there because you get your game a day early tomorrow in San Francisco against the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge and company. Now, I'm sure you would love to go to that game, Jorge, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Yeah. Love the idea of going to a baseball game on opening day.
If I wasn't working,
I know, of course. And we're here, but I'll tell you what, us here at ESPN Fresno, we love to take care of our listeners. And I have a prime opportunity for the folks out there who are listening right now. Folks, in my possession, I have two tickets to tomorrow night's home opener against the Yankees and the Giants. First pitch at 5:05. And all you have to do is call in and answer a trivia question. So we're going to run this contest right at the top of the show because I need people to know how they want to win these tickets. So, Jorge, are you ready to open the phone lines here? And I got a trivia question right here at the top. The trivia question is, who will be the starting left fielder for the second consecutive season tomorrow for the Giants for the first time since Barry Bonds did it in 2007 and 2006. We are finally going to bust that streak with a player who's going to start in left field tomorrow. Who is finally going to bust that streak? If somebody can name me the Giants starting left fielder tomorrow night's game, they will win tickets to the game tomorrow against the Yankees and Giants. Lee's Air Hotline is how you enter. 559-320-1430. You want to go to Giants opening day tomorrow? Come on. You don't want to be working. You don't want to be stuck here in the Central Valley. You want to go to the city by the bay and go watch your Giants if your Giants are your favorite team. All you got to tell me is who is going to break that streak of 19 consecutive seasons of different starting left fielders for the Giants. Who is starting in left field tomorrow for the second consecutive season for the Giants? First time since the great Barry Bonds did it. So Lee's Air Hotline is open. We're going to run that contest. And if somebody can come on the air and tell me who that is, you're going to the game tomorrow between the Yankees and the Giants. Or if you're a big Aaron Judge fan, I'm sure you're out there. I'm sure you're wanting to go as well. There's a lot of opportunity there. You want to call out sick and go, we won't tell your boss. But if you're listening, let's get you out to a San Francisco Giants game tomorrow evening. And by the way, 5 o'clock start, that's really nice. Really nice start time. You know, game ends at around 8. You know, you can get back home at a relatively decent time. Decent as in, like, you know, before before the twilight hours, right? For someone who's up for adventure. You've driven
before
back
the
late.
Twilight hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the midnight hour.
Yeah.
You know, where your carriage turns into a pumpkin and aspects of it. Yeah.
I like to drive.
Yeah.
Especially once you hit the five, once you get away from the all that.
Yeah. Exactly. So 559-320-1430, the way to call in and try to win Giants tickets for tomorrow. All you got to do is tell me who's going to be the Giants left fielder tomorrow. He was playing left field last night. So I'm sure you can get it. If you're a true Giants fan out there, we want to send Giants fans out there for the opening day, which is starting tomorrow. Anyways, let's get to some of our show here, and we'll get some call-ins later as we roll along. Big stuff on the horizon, of course, and certainly there's going to be an exciting announcement tomorrow regarding Fresno State, but a little bit of news coming out today. Jorge, did you see the article that came out on the Sports Business Journal this afternoon?
The Sports Business Journal? No, I did not.
At around 12:23 today. Well, we've been holding it in for a little bit on the air, and we'll make it a formal announcement tomorrow. But the article reads, Fresno State shifting to new multimedia rights model. And we're excited to be bringing in the news that Bulldog Sports Enterprises will be a new in-house agency for Fresno State to control its own intellectual property and brand assets to the college, to the university, and the athletic department. And part of that is that we will be the partners in broadcasting Fresno State athletics starting in the fall. And that is exciting news for us here at ESPN Fresno. So we will have a formal announcement tomorrow. That's all I'm teasing at the moment in the announcement. I don't want to overshadow what the announcement will be, but be Business Sports Journal putting out an article today, and I'm sure people are going to be interested in what this means, what this is moving forward, and what excitement that'll bring to the college and the university. And I am looking forward to talking about that more tomorrow on the show. So excited about that. Anyways, right at the top, by the way, want to win Giants tickets once again, 559-320-1430. You want to go to tomorrow night's game, 505 first pitch. It's on Netflix. So most of you out there probably don't even have Netflix. So you don't want to miss the game. Why not go? Then you know you're not going to miss the game.
Yeah, somebody's got Netflix.
Somebody's
got Netflix.
All right, let's see if we can get our first caller here, Jorge. Let's see if you can name the Giants left fielder, starting left fielder tomorrow. He will break the streak of 19 consecutive seasons of what Barry Bonds was, although we just lost our caller, didn't we? So if you're calling in, call back. 559-320-1430. Let's see if you can win some tickets to tomorrow's Giants game. And I'm telling you, these aren't slouchy tickets either. These are lower level, nice, awesome tickets. I've sat in them myself. And they are worth the price of admission, that's for sure. And we're giving away these for free, folks, right here on air, 559-320-1430. Call in. See if you can get the trivia question right. All right, let's take a break, Jorge, and see if anybody calls in during the break. We can hold them on the air here and have them answer the trivia question live on air. So we're getting started here, folks. Behind the Bench, just getting rolling here on 1430 ESPN. Coming up next, we're going to talk some more baseball here. We'll get into Laker talk as well. The streak is over, but what are we going to look at for the next remaining 10 games on the Lakers schedule? We'll talk about that more. Plus, remember, that Giants ticket giveaway, if you're listening. Go win some tickets. Call us in at 559-320-1430. All right, we'll be back with more Behind the Bench right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
Keep my hands on myself.
All right,
welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live here on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon, the day before opening day for Major League Baseball, Giants, Yankees. A reminder, we're giving away two tickets to tomorrow night's game. If you can answer a trivia question about the Giants, it's a relatively easy one, I think. Jorge, you know what the answer is to this trivia question.
I believe I do, yes.
Yeah, who is going to start for the second consecutive year in left field tomorrow night for the Giants? He would be the first player since Barry Bonds started two consecutive years in left field for the Giants. That's right, 19 years of futility in left field for the Giants. A streak will finally come to an end tomorrow with this player starting. If you know the answer to that question, you are going to tomorrow night's game between the Yankees and the Giants at 505. Just call our number, 559-320-1430. Call the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. You answer that, and it's easy. That's easy. That's all it is. And we're sending you to San Francisco tomorrow night. You're going to go to opening day. Those tickets don't go cheap, man. You only go to opening day once. I've been to one opening day. I've been to two opening days in my life. And I would say one was very awesome, and one was, you know, ho-hum. I went to an A's opening day. That was the ho-hum one against the Mariners. It was at the Coliseum. It was kind of in the nice A's era, but wasn't particularly, like, you know. The problem is I'm comparing it to another opening day I've been to, which I would argue might be the best opening day atmosphere in baseball that nobody talks about. Jorge, I'm going to say this is the best-kept secret opening day spot for anybody. Because if you want to – Jorge, what do you think is the top places, top teams that have the best opening day atmospheres, you think, in Major League Baseball? Because I don't think you would – you could name 10 teams and you're not going to get the team I'm going to say is the best opening day atmosphere.
What I think is the best?
Like, what teams do you think have the best opening day atmosphere based off of the fans, based off the location of the stadium?
I would say Philly.
Philly? Philly's rough because it's all in a parking lot. So, no, it's not going to be Philly. Philly doesn't land on the list for me.
Is it Boston?
Boston would be up there. Because it's in that neighborhood, they close down the street, you know. But it's not going to land exactly at the top of the list for me. Boston Red Sox opening day doesn't quite land there for me. You could go Chicago, the Cubs.
Yeah.
Because it's also in a neighborhood, and I imagine Cub fans out there are feeling a certain way. You think of all
the older stadiums.
All the older stadiums out there, you know. But there's one above the rest to me. And I'm a little biased because I've been, and also I think it's just an awesome location in the city that this team is located in. And what I'm saying is, you haven't lived if you have not gone to a opening day for the Colorado Rockies. You have not lived if you have not gone to a Colorado Rockies opening day. They shut down the city, Jorge. It is a holiday. It is a fanfare.
What makes the difference?
Blocks of the city is shut down. Everybody's out. It could be a Tuesday, and it's a day game. It's always going to be a day game for the Rockies. The whole place is shut down. Rooftop bars are impossible to get to. Everybody is around the ballpark. The whole place is sold out. Everybody's in the stadium about an hour before. It does not matter how good the Rockies are. The Rockies always turn out. The fans always turn out in Denver for opening day because it signals that, you know, they're done with the snow and done with the winter and done with everything. Opening day Rockies is my number one atmosphere for baseball opening day in any part of the country. Now, you could go at me. You could argue some other team in terms of opening day and what the vibes are like. But to me, I have not seen a sort of sport event that has matched it than Rockies opening day. Maybe the game doesn't go as well as it does, right? But certainly it is worth it from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, I just feel like, maybe, I don't know, the Rockies seems like a weird place to go for game one, but I guess it just, I guess you have to be there, right? You just have to be there, man.
You can think Rocky baseball you want and how bad it was. I went in 2018 when they were a great team. They were a playoff team. They went to the playoffs and almost went to the NLCS. They couldn't quite get over the hump with the Brewers. But I love that Rockies team. That 2018 Rockies team was good. So even then, I went to some really fun games of the Rockies. But the opening day, man, they shut it down. It is packed. It is wall-to-wall, down the streets, all the way to Coors Field.
I feel like most stadiums get packed on opening day. Except for a few, but most of them opening day are...
Everyone tries to show up on opening day, at least.
Yeah.
You know, aside from a few. I'm trying to think of who the few
people could take off work.
Miami. You know.
Miami. Maybe
Miami
Chicago,
could be so
South
much
side.
Better. Miami could have such a better opening day atmosphere. I don't know. Best opening day atmosphere they ever had was that when that first game they ever opened that stadium, that new Marlins stadium in 2012. And I remember Muhammad Ali coming out and throwing out a first pitch back when he could still kind of maneuver.
But didn't they place it in the wrong place?
In Miami?
Yeah, like
it's pretty far from the downtown area.
It's far from where people want to hang out.
It's pretty south. Like, it's not quite where downtown Miami is, if you look at it. And as someone who consistently and repeatedly looks at the geography of where stadiums are versus where its city centers are, that it matters where stadiums can be and the proximity of how quickly you can get to a stadium from hanging out at a bar the day before. I've heard the Tigers is a really good atmosphere because there's a lot of good walking in downtown Detroit. Underrated downtown.
Baltimore
would be an underrated, pretty underrated, although, you know, there's some areas.
It's downtown, and it feels like people would go.
L.A., horrible opening day experience. I would imagine the Dodgers are one of the worst opening day experiences.
Why?
Out there, because it's just a concrete little spot. It is a impossible you want to walk to opening day. You don't want to drive in and then have to worry about driving out and paying $60 for parking and whatnot. I want to be able to tailgate. You want to be able to go to a bar, go to another one, and then walk to the stadium. That's my ideal opening day.
So it'll be the same thing with San Francisco then?
You can walk to a couple of spots before the game in San Francisco. There's a place called the Candlestick that I would hang out before Giants games. And then afterwards, I'd go get another one, another drink or two. And then we hop into the Caltrain and back down to Santa Clara, which is where then we would ship off and we'd be on our merry way home. So I'm trying to think. I can't judge the New York cities. I don't know. New York seems like just a different thing. People just want to go to those games and get out. I don't know. It's not quite the atmosphere I would imagine around Yankee Stadium of getting ready for a game. St. Louis sounds like it'd be an awesome opening day. And then, of course, the creme de la creme is the team that always gets opening day at home, which is the Reds, Jorge, which, you know, I think for the last 100 years they've got an opening day at home. So
the who?
The Reds, the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, the Reds.
They're the only team that always gets a home series to start opening day because they're the very first team that was part of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So my Red Sox opened with the Reds in Cincinnati this year. Your Giants started with the Cincinnati Reds last year.
Yeah, in I remember Cincinnati. That.
So anyways, opening day memories. You've been to an opening day? We want to hear from you. 559-320-1430. Got some good memories. Maybe you're trying to go to an opening day tomorrow. And once again, we're giving away those tickets. You want to go to Giants opening day tomorrow? We got two tickets for you. 559-320-1430. Looking for a caller to come on the show and answer our trivia question. All right, let's talk a little Lakers. Lakers drop a game to the Detroit Pistons, 113-110. And the Lakers' nine-game losing streak or winning streak has come to an end. They fall in Detroit on a Monday night. And maybe it was seen coming. Detroit's a very good basketball team. Even without Cade Cunningham, who's been out for the last 10 games, he's had that scary, the last three games, he's had that collapsed lung, which to me, collapsed lung always sounds worse than it actually is. It's a scary situation, but it's something that's very treatable, right?
Yeah, but I mean, still, it's something that could go from bad to
horrible. Oh, yeah, you don't mess around with
horrible.
It. Yeah, you don't mess around with it. Yeah, 3-0, though, the Pistons are. Without him since the collapsed lung diagnosis. Pistons 8-2 overall without Cade Cunningham. The sum of their parts is holding on here is Jalen Duren with 20-11 last night for the Pistons. Detroit was just a really strong team, and that second quarter really killed the Lakers if you're going to look at it. Led by four, the Lakers did after a quarter, and then 42 given up in the second and really kind of squandered away an opportunity to keep that game close. Just kind of a tough night for LeBron last night, even though he was a rebound shy of a triple-double. He had 12, 9, and 10. But the problem was LeBron didn't score in that entire first half. Only his third time in his career he did not score in the first half of a basketball game. Jorge, you want to take a guess the last time? What was the year LeBron last didn't score in the first half of a basketball game?
Didn't he score?
He did not score in the first half of a game. Only the third time in his career.
I want to say 2003.
Oh, yeah. That was really long ago. 2010. 2010, okay. He didn't score in the first half. And then 2007. Ironically, both against Dallas. The Mavericks. It's not the scoring that was the issue, I think, for the Lakers last night. It was that second quarter that kind of derailed it for them. They got back into it in the third, could have had a chance at the end in the fourth quarter of this basketball game. But it just feels like the winning streak, there is just a lot on the line for this Laker team of trying to keep the winning streak going. You just get a little more tired as it rolls along. And it's hard to sustain. So the Lakers fall. They're now trying to start their new winning streak. And so I wanted to give a difficulty rating on their next 10 games because as we sit here today, the Lakers have a two-game advantage over the Denver Nuggets. Surely they're not going to catch the Spurs. I don't think there's a chance they catch the Spurs in the standings. They're 8 games back with 10 to play. So that's not even in a realistic realm of possibility. So can the Lakers be the 3 seed? What is the number they need to get to of wins to get to the 3 seed? You'd like to think they can beat Indiana tomorrow in Indiana, right?
Right, right.
You like to think they can beat the Brooklyn Nets in LA on Friday. I'd like to believe so.
Yeah.
You'd like to believe they can beat the Washington Wizards on a Monday in L.A.
Okay.
So we're already at 3.
Yeah.
We got the Cavs at home for the Lakers the day after the Wizards game. So Cleveland is going to be a tough one. So let's say 3-1. They got the OKC Thunder on Thursday. Thunder tuning up before the playoffs, I would imagine. They're starting to ramp up their chance of getting that 1 seed. They're only 3 up on the Spurs right now, so they still want to lock up that home court. I would imagine the Lakers and Thunder, that'll go hard for both of those teams. I think the Lakers would lose that game. Be a very important one to win just to get over the perception you can't beat the top teams. So I'll go 3-2 at that point. Lakers absolutely can beat the Mavericks on the Sunday in Dallas, so we're at 4-2. Let's say the Lakers sneak a win over the Thunder after that. So we're at 5-2. Lakers can certainly beat my Warriors. See what happened to Moses Moody last night, Jorge?
No, what happened?
His knee just absolutely obliterated while he was going up for a dunk.
Really?
Like his kneecap.
Like when he was coming down from the dunk?
No, when he was going up. Ooh. Like when he jumped, he like lost control. I don't know what happened. It's like he exploded for the dunk to go up. And as he went up, his knee just absolutely like sunk in on itself. Like the kneecap disappeared. Like it was, I think the diagnosis was something like a torn patellar. Something really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nasty with Moses Moody. I don't have the exact injury situation. Here we go. Yeah. Torn patellar tendon in his left knee. And it was nasty. And they kept showing it on Peacock. I don't know why they kept showing it. Anyway, Warriors, by the way, no Steph Curry still. I don't know. Maybe he'll play in that game. Where are we at? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins for the Lakers. 6-2. They got the Suns. You'd like to say they can beat them 7-2, 8-2 against the Jazz. 8-2 record for the Lakers. That's all that matters.
I can see that. Yeah.
And then you're asking if the Nuggets, there's no chance the Nuggets could catch you then, unless the Nuggets go 10-0 in the stretch there and what they got.
That would be a streak.
Yeah, they got Phoenix, Dallas, Utah, Golden State, Utah. Then they got a couple with San Antonio. They got a Blazers game, Grizzly game, and Thunder. So I don't imagine the Nuggets are going to play catch up here on the schedule there. What about the T-Wolves? See what the T-Wolves got. Houston, Detroit, Dallas, Detroit, Philly, Charlotte, Indy, Orlando, Houston, New Orleans. Wow, they haven't played the Pistons yet this year. The Timberwolves are about to play two of their next four against Detroit. Ain't that something? Yeah, I don't see Minnesota. It clearly, for me, the path for the Lakers right now is the easiest one amongst the other two teams that we just talked about. So I'm looking forward to. I think the Lakers have the 3 seed locked up if they handle business. They handle what they got in front of them. I just think they've been so good against the bad teams. They've been so good against the close games as well. Just last night, just a little run out of steam situation. LeBron's older, you know, as we know. So. I wouldn't panic if you're a Laker fan, but, you know, now you got to bounce back. Don't lose to the Pacers tomorrow. That's what I'll say. All right, Jorge, let's take another break. A reminder, folks, we're giving away Giants tickets. So if you want to win some Giants tickets for tomorrow's game, we got a pair of tickets for you, the listener. If you want to go to tomorrow's game, just call the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. You're going to find out how to win on air. Right here on 1430 ESPN, 559-320-1430. You want to go to the Giants-Yankees game tomorrow, 5:05, first pitch? Call us then. Call us there. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we wrap up hour number one next on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. You know why this is one of my favorite times of year? You don't want to know why? Because we are seeing teams unveil some of their new stadium food for the baseball season. Have you been seeing the, I don't know what to call it. Can I...
The 999 challenge or what?
No, not just the 999 challenge. Like everything. All these different food items out there that they're unveiling at these ballparks. I'm now seeing pictures of food items at Petco Park this year, Jorge. And I'm going to point them at you. I don't have the ability to show them. How about a cinnamon sugar pretzel bites? We locked in on that.
Pretzel bites. Okay.
How about a... S'mores braided pretzel.
Wow.
Looks like a cup of ice cream next to it or some sort of whip.
Yeah.
What about this one? Savory. You like savory?
How about
How about a buffalo and blue cheese braided pretzel with like a blue cheese dip?
Yeah, I don't know about the blue cheese, but yeah.
You not down with the blue cheese? Not down with it?
Nah. I'm more of a ranch guy.
Yeah, I am certainly looking into the amazing food items that are coming to baseball stadiums everywhere.
I did see the Giants have rice bowls.
Rice bowls? Yeah. They have bulgogi and all that fun stuff. They had like a special Sultanes hot dog last night. They had like bacon and some sort of like spicy sauce that was on it. Some cheese.
Monterey type of a
style hot dog.
Yeah.
If they can perfect the bacon-wrapped hot dog inside the stadium, or is that encroaching on the territory of the folks who cook the bacon-wrapped hot dogs outside of the stadium? Is there an unspoken thing among the folks outside versus the folks inside?
I think that the folks inside just don't have time for that.
Yeah. No time for a bacon-wrapped hot dog?
It's more like they put it in a machine that rotates it and puts it in there, and the folks outside, you know, they wrap it themselves and turn them themselves. And
yeah.
A little more labor intensive.
Let's see. The Marlins have unveiled the machete.
I read that, yes.
2-foot homemade flour tortillas griddled in the flat top with mozzarella, melted mozzarella and Oaxaca cheese, house marinated carne asada, smoky guajillo pepper sauce and salsa verde and cilantro. Look at that thing.
So there's a dish called machete and comes from Oaxaca. So
yeah.
I'm feeling that the Oaxaca cheese and all that, all the stuff is kind of a traditional.
You like chicken and waffles, Jorge?
Oh, yeah.
What about a twist on it? What about a chicken and churros from the Cubs?
Chicken and churros.
Chicken and churros.
That's awesome, man. I love that.
We got churro, like, twists in, like, a nest and a couple of pieces of fried chicken. You got powdered sugar on it. Looks like some caramel drizzle on it, like, with a little whip.
You're never going to eat that anywhere else, so might as well, you know.
Fried chicken thigh is served with golden brown churro, ancho syrup, and fresh strawberries. Oh, my gosh. How about this one, Jorge? The Diamondbacks got to take me out to the ball game shake. You're ready for your dairy intake on this one. Salted caramel shake, whipped cream, peanut butter sandwich cookies. We're talking Nutter Butters, Kit Kat bars, and Cracker Jack all in a glass for you to enjoy.
Okay.
Have you seen the picture of this thing? There you go.
That is, I actually like that. And then you can keep the glass too.
You dairy, non-dairy eating people, you know, this is why life sucks for you.
Maybe they have a dairy-free...
There's no way you can make any of that dairy free, man. There's no chance. I'm sorry. Dairy mindset people, folks. It's a mindset. You can overcome your dairy deficiencies, folks. I'm living my life. You wonder why I'm 6'4"? I drank my milk. That's what I did.
Nice.
Get your dairy in. How about the DC Monument Chicken Tower? We got a sandwich featuring a grilled chicken, smoked bacon, mixed greens, chipotle ranch, and Gruyere cheese on a soft pretzel bun, a couple pickles on the top. This thing looks massive. How about this thing?
Chipotle ranch.
Yeah.
Okay.
That thing looks massive.
That looks like a lot.
Where are they growing the chickens in Washington, D.C.? Tampa Bay Rays, by the way, they're back at their own digs, the Tropicana.
They fixed it?
Yeah.
Nice.
How about an Oreo brownie milkshake? Sounds simple, right? But this thing looks massive. How about a Oreo-rimmed cup, and they got a brownie wedge on the top of this thing with an ice cream cone on the top as well. A lot of chocolate sprinkles to it. Some Oreo cookie crumble to it. That thing looks fantastic. How about Seattle? You got a Washington State ferry boat that has what looks like fish and chips, and you can get dip on either side. It's in a boat container, Jorge. That is how they serve it to you, is a ferry boat that you take traditionally in Seattle.
Okay.
And they fill the middle section with fish and chips, and then on the sides, each side, you can get a cup of tartar sauce for your dietary needs. They got the Schwarbaum Sundae in Philly. Soft served ice cream and a helmet with some fruity pebbles. A funnel cake fried strawberry uncrustable. Whoever thought about frying uncrustables? Now I'm thinking about it. Fresh chopped strawberry sauce and some fruity pebbles. Ain't that something? And of course, all the teams making the 999 challenge, including your San Francisco Giants, which I think they're still working out the kinks on that one. You got a Dubai cinnamon roll for the Colorado Rockies with that Dubai chocolate. Looks delicious. Rockies also got the Glizilla, which is a 2-foot, 1-pound hot dog topped with some mac and cheese and some other delights. Brisket donuts with the Houston Astros. 2 fried brisket donuts with barbecue sauce and homemade mac and cheese. Who's hungry? Anybody? This is the one that takes the cake, Jorge.
Okay.
The Red Sox have come out with the lobster poutine. That's right. Fresh French fries with some lobster meat on the top, clam chowder, and crispy bacon served in its own little boat, fishing boat, where you get the lobster poutine.
Feels like it's unnecessary.
No, there's nothing unnecessary about lobster.
Lobster poutine.
Lobster poutine.
Isn't that French?
That looks fantastic. I would obliterate that in 2 minutes. Probably going to be like $42. Your local stand at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Finally, the heavy hitter dog from Pittsburgh. This is my last one. Cornbread-coated hot dog, yellow mustard, pico de gallo served on a special baseball bat boat. That's pretty. Pico de gallo with a corn dog? Yeah?
Yeah.
We down?
I do that anyways.
You put pico on the corn dog?
Yeah. Well, I do it in a hot dog, but like I wouldn't see why I wouldn't do it.
Why would it work on a...
Yeah.
But it's cornbread. Cornbread, pico, and mustard. Yellow mustard.
I mean, I don't... Devin, like I said, I'd do it in a hot dog.
You know, it's ambitious. Man. Opening day food. Looks fantastic. By the way, we're giving away tickets opening day. Nobody's claimed them yet. Caller, come in. 559-320-1430. Giants tickets available for you to win for tomorrow's game. Lower level tickets to this game tomorrow against the San Francisco Giants and the New York Yankees. All you got to do, call in 559-320-1430. Answer the trivia question. We got you. We got two tickets for you right here, right now. These are the cheapest opening day tickets you could ever get, which is free. So, hey, by the way, tonight over on 1430, starting in about 40 minutes, I would say the most important Sharks game is about to begin of their season. Over on 790, 4:30 pregame, 5 p.m. puck drop. So about an hour, a little over an hour before that thing gets rolling. But Sharks have had a little bit of a dip. It's been a rough last 7 days for the Sharks. Have not produced any sort of points or victory since they got that nice win in, I believe it was Philly. And have consistently slipped below in the standings. Now, good thing is the Sharks still have some games left on their schedule, more games left on their schedule than the guys in front of them, and particularly the team they face tonight is the Nashville Predators. And Nashville is a team that they are chasing primarily. And this is where you're looking at your goal here, because the only saving grace right now that's kept the Sharks in the run here is because all the other teams around them have been losing. So even their losses have equated to their ability to get back into it. However, the Sharks start, and by the way, it's March 24th. This is the first time they're playing the Nashville Predators this year, Jorge. They've got about like 13 games left on their regular season schedule. Three of them are with the Nashville Predators.
Just because they didn't play one like earlier?
They just haven't had them on the schedule until earlier, and now they have three with the Nashville Predators. They're 4 points back of the Nashville Predators. They're 2 games in hand with the Nashville Predators. So I could argue tonight's game between the Sharks and the Predators might be, and in fact, I will declare it, probably the most important game the Sharks have this season of getting 2 points. It's not about one. It's about getting two. You do not help your cause if you get this game to overtime and lose. You have to win this hockey game. Now, how are the Sharks going to approach it? Just like any other game, they want to approach it that way. But inside, on their inside, I know this is a game they want to have tonight. And I would be imploring you folks to be paying attention to this one tonight between the San Jose Sharks and the Nashville Predators. Jorge, you want to guess how long the win streak for the Predators is against the San Jose Sharks? They have won. How many games in a row do you think they've won against the San Jose Sharks?
I want to say 8.
Higher.
12.
Higher.
Like 30-something?
No, 30's crazy.
Okay.
13. 13 games the Predators have won against the Sharks. It is the NHL's longest active win streak by one team against another. If there's any time the Sharks can get off the schneid against Nashville, tonight is the night. And it's in Nashville. The Sharks have not had a point in the last 4 games. It's been a rough skid, but this is where you dig deep. 4 weeks left in the season, you dig deep, you dig out of it, and you try to get a point here or two. And honestly, 2 is where I think the necessary number is. They got to get a win tonight. And honestly, you want to do it in regulation if you have to. So I'll look for a sense of urgency tonight from the San Jose Sharks. I'll look for their ability to ramp up the pressure. They have the ability to do so. Hopefully their defense shows up a little bit more. They have had struggles keeping teams off the scoreboard as of late. And they got to press the issue tonight on offense. I think they have to play with a lead. They have to have the ability to keep things rolling from their vantage point as opposed to playing catch-up. They have been playing catch-up way too long, and they've gotten away with it because they have the talent to do so. But this is a team that needs to be playing from ahead a little bit more. And I implore them to take advantage of that. Take the crowd out of it tonight. They're an away team. That's what you got to do when you're on the road. You have to take advantage of taking that crowd out of it. Nashville is a hell of a hockey town. They throw catfish at you. I'm not kidding. That's what they do. You know, when they score goals, and we knew it from their run to the Stanley Cup playoffs back in 2017, I want to say.
Like an actual catfish?
Oh, yeah. They bring a Ned catfish, throw it on the ice anytime somebody gets a hat trick, I believe. Something like that.
Wow.
Imagine sneaking that in. Imagine sneaking that in.
I feel like that's going to be bad for the fish, right?
Oh, the fish is dead. What do you mean it's bad for the fish? The fish is gone. Well, the fish has no agency in this transaction.
Why are we killing the fish just for that? That makes no sense.
People fish, man.
I get that, but
catfish are a dime a dozen, man. Like,
yeah, catfish is kind of like an
billion catfish out there. Is it endangered?
No, invasive.
Yeah, invasive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what better place to throw them than throw them on the ice? That's really invasive. Predators have been on a four-game win streak as well. So the rubber is meeting the road for the San Jose Sharks tonight. And it's a big game tonight, not just for the Sharks to make the playoffs, but it's a big game for Macklin Celebrini to maybe grab the bull by the horns of the MVP race as well, because he can certainly win it if the Sharks make the playoffs. The Sharks just have to grab the bull by the horns and get this thing going. So tonight's a night. Tonight is a seminal night for the Sharks. You cannot lose this game. I don't believe you should. You cannot lose this game if you're the San Jose Sharks. All right. We got another hour to go. And Paul Effler's going to join us in this next hour. We're going to talk a little bit more baseball as well. So much items to get to on the docket. Don't go anywhere. Behind the Bench returns for one more hour next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon on a March 24th day. One more hour before I got to zip on down to Kingsburg to call a high school baseball game. Paul Matters and I are going to be on the call. You missed us, didn't you? You haven't heard from us since the end of February when we did the Central Section Championships over at Celent Arena. So it's good to be reacquainted with Paul. I've seen him. I've seen him since then. It's not like I haven't seen Paul Matters since that time. But it's going to be good to be on the air again and calling a fun one tonight against CVC in Kingsburg from the home of the Vikings. Should be a lot of fun from there. So tune in 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch. For us out there on 1430. We got MLB odds here, and I want to do a little experiment to see if we can guess. Well, I know the answers. So, Jorge, I want to play the game show music. Are you ready to have a little fun with the game show music?
Sure, why not?
Let's see if we can get the top 10 teams in the MLB odds, top 10 teams that can win the World Series in Major League Baseball. I wonder if you can get the top 10 here. So, are you ready for that, Jorge?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you ready? Let's see if we can go. There's some clear and obvious ones. There's some not so clear and obvious ones. Give me the first team that comes to mind in the top 10.
Is this top 10 teams that could win the World Series?
Win right? The World Series, according to MLB odds by DraftKings Sportsbook.
I would say the current champion, the LA Dodgers.
The LA Dodgers are number one at plus 230. That is a little over 2-1 to win the World Series. Ain't that something? Plus 230 to win the World Series, the Dodgers. All right, nine more.
I would say the Yankees.
Yankees are the number two team. They're at 10-1 to win the World Series. You like those odds, huh? All right, we got one and two. Pretty easy.
I'm going to go with the runner-up, the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays are number five. They're 15-1 to win the World Series. I sense a drop-off for the Blue Jays this year. That's just me personally. All right, we got number one, we got number two, we got number five.
Oh, who else is this in there? Let's go with the Padres of San Diego.
The Padres are not in the top five, or top 10, excuse me. So that's your first strike. They're 35-1.
Oh, man. Got to think about this then.
Yeah.
Let's go with the San Francisco. My Giants. What? They're not in the top 10?
Not in the top 10. They are 60-1.
That's outrageous.
To win the World Series.
Outrageous.
There's definitely an overinflated team in there.
Oh. So the Cubs?
Yes, the Cubs are at 8. They're 18-1. That's not my overinflated team. But yes, 18-1 for the Cubbies to win the World Series. So you got four of them.
Oh, who else? I'm going to go with Philly.
Yes, the Phillies are at the 7th spot. They are at 16-1 to win the World Series. Five more.
Let me think about it. Seattle.
Seattle's number three. They're at 12-1 to win the World Series. The third
number
best
three?
Odds. They're number three. Third best odds to win the World Series. All right, you got four more. You're looking for the number four team, the number six team, the number nine, and the number 10.
It feels like the lower I go, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
Let me see. If I could think. Let me see. It's got to be, I was going to say.
Come on, you can do it.
It's got to be the Mets.
The Mets are number four.
Yeah.
Didn't make the playoffs last year, but they're 13-1 to win the World Series.
Well.
A little overinflated, you think?
You think?
All right, you have six, you have nine, and you have 10 left in the top 10 here.
Oh, who am I missing?
Who are you missing?
What about the Texas Rangers?
Just missed out on the top 10. The Texas Rangers are 13th overall. They're 30-1 to win the World Series.
I feel like, I don't know. The Braves. Atlanta Braves.
That's number nine. The Braves at 18-1 to win the World Series. All right, you got two left.
Wait, the Braves are there, but the Giants are not.
Yes, correct.
Jesus Christ.
Braves a little overinflated, too, in my opinion.
You
got two playoff teams from last year in this. Quote-unquote playoff teams.
Quote-unquote. Okay. Did I say already Miami?
Miami, the Marlins. Oh my God, no. The Miami Marlins are way down there. 200-1 if you want to throw odds down on there.
Well, what is that? Strike two?
Strike three.
Jesus.
Yeah, all right. Okay, let's play the sad trombone noise. You get the third strike. All right. The other
Who'd I miss?
Two you're missing. Do you want the number 10 team first? Or do you want the number 16?
Sound like in my head it's just like a bunch of names, but I can't. Yeah.
The number 10, number 6 team is my Boston Red Sox. It's 16-1.
Red Sox.
Yeah. And then at 10 with a odds of 20-1, the Detroit Tigers. Forgot about the Detroit Tigers. think you did. I think you forgot about the Detroit Tigers.
I didn't say Red Sox.
You did not say the Red Sox.
Oh, man.
You did not say the Red Sox. Orioles at 22-1. The Astros at 25-1. Brewers at 35-1. Royals at 40-1. Reds are at 55-1. The Giants are at 60-1. The Pirates, 65-1. So, the worst odds is a tie between three teams, the White Sox, the Nationals, and the Rockies at 500-1.
I was going to say Rockies.
I would throw a buck at the Nationals. Just a buck.
I'll throw $100 at the Rockies.
You're going to throw $100 at the Rockies?
Hey. Odds are odds, bro.
$100?
Odds are odds.
You just got money to burn? You just want to burn $100?
Well, maybe not $100. Maybe
Rockies over under. You want to guess? 54.5. 54.5.
If I throw $100, that's what? Like, it's a lot of money.
It's $50,000 if you threw $100 for if the Rockies won the World Series next year. Yeah, no shot. Yeah, that's why you're getting those odds.
Shot.
Dodgers win total is 102.5. I've never seen it that high. I would take the under
that's
on
their
the Dodgers.
Win total?
That's their win total. That's their win total is 102.5. I would throw the under so bad on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way he could get
it. It's no disrespect to the Dodgers. Winning 102 is insane.
Especially
that pitching
staff
is not there. I said it last year. I'm not into it. Blake Snell ain't pitching till June.
You got the Padres. You got the
Giants are going to be tough.
They're going to throw some stuff.
Hell,
out
the Diamondbacks are going to be interesting.
Yeah,
they got Nolan Arenado on the squad. Snakes are 79.5. The Giants are 80.5 win total, which just sounds just so right where they are, because they were an 81 win team last couple years.
I feel like they'll get a few more.
Right.
Like two more.
Preseason World Series odds. You want to guess in the last 10 years how many times the preseason World Series favorite actually won the World Series?
How many times?
How many times? The last, since 2016.
Once.
How many times have the World Series preseason favorite actually won the World Series?
I'll say once.
Three times.
Three times. Who are they?
The last 2 years with the Dodgers. And then all the way back in 2016, the Chicago Cubs were the preseason World Series favorites.
Really?
Yeah, and did not end up winning it there. So,
well, I thought they did win it there in 2016.
They did.
Okay.
Yeah, they were the preseason favorite in 2016. They won it all in 2016 over the Cleveland then Indians.
Yeah.
So, man, most regular season wins. Dodgers are a -165, 12-1 for the Yanks. I like the Phils on that 13-1 number. Not that I can bet on anything here because we're in the state of California. So,
and you could always invest in futures, bro.
Futures, bro. That's where it is. The prediction market, bro. Prediction market. It's where it's all landing. Aaron Judge +350 to lead MLB in homers. Shohei is +400. Yeah. Schwarber is +800. Kyle Raleigh +900. Nick Kurtz at 10-1 feels nice.
And who are
that's
they,
an easy ballpark to hit homers in.
Have you said anything about who could be the Cy Youngs?
Cy Young favorites. Here we go. NL Cy Youngs. We got Paul Skeens is a +250. Logan Webb 17-1. You're looking for him, aren't you? He's at the top five.
There we go.
Yamamoto at +650. Chris Sanchez of Philly at +800. 14-1 Chris Sale. 17-1 Logan Webb. Blake Snell's at 18-1. The dude's not pitching for two months. What are we doing?
He's not pitching. He's not.
It's because the Dodgers got no starter outside of Yamamoto. AL Cy Young odds. Tarek Skubal +350. Garrett Crochet +450. Cole Reagan's 10-1 from the Royals. DeGrom at 13-1. Freed at 15-1. Hunter Brown at 15-1. Brian Wu at 17-1. Man, Crochet's got to win one. I sound biased, but he should have won one last year. But I said on my top of the show, I said a week ago, I think Tarek Skubal should win MVP. AL. Anyways.
Maybe.
All right, let's why don't we call our guy?
All right.
Let's call Paul Loeffler and get him on the show here. We'll be right back. More Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN. welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And as we roll into our second and final hour of our show, we are pleased to be joined by the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler, here on the Lee's Air Hotline with me. And Paul, it's good to catch up with you. Haven't chatted with you on the show in a while, but it's good to always have your voice here. And appreciate you stopping by. How are we doing on this wonderful Tuesday in the Central Valley?
Together, but I think anybody around Fresno State Athletics is doing a little better today because the Diamond Dogs won a game last night. So congrats to Coach Overland and company. That was a game they really needed, and they played like it and reminded themselves of who they are. So they've got a big weekend coming up in Albuquerque, and then they'll be back home. I hope some people will come out and see them. You know, they're here on the last day of March, and then a big series leading into Easter at home against Grand Canyon. And let's see how much momentum they can generate this weekend in the bizarro baseball world of Albuquerque.
Yeah. To say they needed that win yesterday was an understatement. But, you know, just a complete performance, 8-1 over Long Beach State. And Paul, you know, you've been following this team as it rolled along. And, you know, there's a lot of growing pains, I would imagine, with this group. But this is a group that certainly feels like they can turn the page quickly. And last night's game feels like a game where if you put a performance like that together, you can garner some momentum. So what was different last night in the way they played baseball?
Well, growing pains is accurate, but just injury pains too, right? I mean, that's going into the year. I think I talked to you, talked to Tony, talked to a lot of people. And if you remember, what I said was, well, it's really hard to predict this season because so many of their most talented players are coming off of injuries, right? So Jake Riding missed all of last year. Is he going to be back or not? Vic Ariola missed almost all of last year. Is he 100%? Sky Collins, that devastating injury in the tournament. Shane Munster hurt his hand again before the season. So right there, you're looking at four guys you're really counting on. And then turns out Jake Riding isn't going to pitch at all for a second straight year. He would have been their number one starter. Lee Trevino, you know, their starting shortstop, leading hitter from last year, hit 364 and was a big reason they made the NCAA. He gets hurt the week of the opener. He's not going to play at all this year. Then you have Munster and Schneider, two returners go down. Now Griffin Sotomayor is out. Who else? Who am I missing? Gavin Akeezian has been out, another talented pitcher. And then to top it off, Parker Hyde has to have his appendix out last week.
Eesh.
So, I mean, that could be more than half your team on any given night that's unavailable or has been unavailable. The silver lining is they knew they had a really good recruiting class of super talented freshmen, and now those guys are proving it between the lines. There have been some hiccups. You know, there have been nights where they hit the ball well but didn't play catch, nights where they just didn't pitch well enough, didn't execute in certain situations. What felt so good for them last night, you know, they weren't playing a world-beater opponent. Long Beach State is facing some of the same disadvantages Fresno State is in the new college sports landscape. But they showed up and got it done. And, you know, Coach Overland's bringing the infield in the first inning. That's how much that was a playoff-type atmosphere. He's bringing in maybe his best pitcher, B.J. Rodriguez, in the third inning to make sure that Long Beach State doesn't score first. Mikey Boyd, freshman, hits a three-run bomb. Later, Munster hits the bomb. Brady Hewitt, another one of those freshmen, hits a bomb. Marcus Nolan, another freshman, makes an incredible double play from foul ground in right field to gun down a guy at second, has three really good ABs. This freshman class, by probably a month from now, is going to feel like a sophomore class. They've gotten that much experience, and they're performing that well. So if this team finds consistency and finds a way to piece together innings on the mound, maybe in an unorthodox way, I think it's best baseball is ahead of them. And the other piece of that equation, Phil, is they took on a really tough schedule this year.
Mm-hmm.
The most challenging non-conference schedule probably in 20 years for Fresno State. Then they had to play the preseason favorite in the conference opening series. So the best teams on their schedule are teams they've already played. They're going to face some challenges. Going to Albuquerque is no picnic for anybody. You can be the best team in America and go there and give up 20. That's just how the sport is, a different sport there. So, you know, buckle your seatbelt for this weekend and what'll probably be the Dogs' last trip ever to Albuquerque. But it's going to be exciting, and it's a big opportunity. And after an 8-1 win last night, that was a true team win where they executed in all three phases. I'm excited to see what they can do down there in New Mexico.
Yeah, and you spoke to the injury situations and the guys being thrust into these situations of playing D1 baseball when maybe they weren't necessarily planning to have them be thrust into those situations. But does it create a deeper team, like you say, like when it comes to that ability of those guys seeing D1 at-bats, D1 level talent every time they step on that field? Is like, it's all about experience in baseball, right? It's all about those opportunities, and maybe it speeds up the clock of how deep this roster can be, not just this season but next. But it's the growing pains that can lead into what could be a really special little stretch of time now for this Bulldog baseball program, including what the stretch run could be in the end of April and start of May.
Yeah, I think, they're only three games into a 24-game conference schedule. You know, on one hand, that's still a ton of season to go. On the other hand, they're used to a 30-game conference schedule. So getting swept at home opening weekend is not what you want to do when you only have 24 games. But, you know, there are opportunities in front of them. They're going to have a tough road trip to New Mexico, a tough road trip to Air Force, who right now is alone in first place and playing great, especially at the plate. You know, they'll have to go to Washington State, who just had a sweep over the weekend. And they'll have to go to San Jose. Then they'll have some tough opponents coming in here. So there'll be challenges, but it's doable. And if they can, you know, become one of those top two seeds for the conference tournament again like they were last year, I wouldn't count them out. Right now, you know, you say deeper and, you know, long term, yeah, they're developing more depth if they can ever get healthy. But, you know, where the depth is really affecting them is on the mound. And you may see them have to approach it differently. You know, think of in the big leagues, you know, a lot of your listeners follow Major League Baseball, probably all of them. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago when the Rays went to this idea of an opener, right, and kind of flipped the script on how you handle your pitching staff, and, you know, they're going to pitch a guy that usually pitches at the back end for two innings at the front end, that may be something you see this team do, where instead of the 6-7 inning traditional start, you see a guy who's given you three innings one day and maybe one inning another day on the same weekend or something like that. And just taking it in smaller chunks just because of the makeup of this staff, the injuries. Right now they're down three pitchers, right? Three of their more talented pitchers. So, and at the same time, everybody's going to have to do a little bit more. And I think that's what I liked about last night. I mean, it's no secret they were on the worst losing streak any of us around Bulldog baseball have ever seen. And the way they snapped out of it was a true team approach. It was everybody saying, you know what, I'm not going to feel pressure. I'm not going to look over there and wait for that guy to bail me out. I'm going to be in the moment and do my job, whether that's executing a pitch, making a play in the field, or, you know, taking the right approach at the plate. And to me, the mindset they had last night is a taste for them of what they're going to need to be successful. So sometimes, and this is true in life, Phil, I'm sure you can think of examples in your own life, and all of your listeners can.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest seasons of growth are the most challenging seasons of our life, because we realize we're going to have to make changes. We're going to have to do things differently. We're going to have to accept the reality that we really never planned for, didn't ask for, didn't want. And so, especially for 18-year-old freshmen, which there's so many of on this team, that's a really valuable lesson that they're getting right now. They could pay some pretty close to immediate dividends as they work through the conference season. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you know, the lessons learned, if we go to the school equivalent, how hard of a midterm is this going to be for especially the pitchers at Albuquerque at the altitude of what they're going to learn? For the guys who haven't been playing maybe against Albuquerque or against the New Mexico squad before, if you preview this series coming up, right, every eye is going to be on the pitching staff if they're going to be able to handle, you know, maybe a ball that would not go out in Fresno certainly could go out in Albuquerque. It's going to be an interesting challenge to see what these guys can adjust to over the weekend.
Yeah, and that same, you know, theme that I just hit on, I think, applies. If you have the right mindset, it can actually be a really good thing for you that you had to pitch in Albuquerque. If you don't, it can be the opposite. And I've seen it time after time, a team that goes there, some insane inning, and then isn't the same after that. There's like this hangover of playing a different sport. It truly, I mean, I get all kinds of funny looks, but I've been saying that for years because it's true. If you go there and watch a game, you see a completely different sport than you see at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. It's not just the altitude carrying balls out of the park. It's you have to play your outfielders so deep because the park's so huge, because of the altitude, that what really beats you are the base hits that fall between the infield and the outfield that would normally be caught by one or the other, or the free runners that you give the other team that then on a two- or three-run homer are coming in to score. Mm-hmm. So you can't walk guys, you can't hit guys, you can't make errors. Those are the ways you lose. If you play clean, if you don't overreact when you give up a cheap home run, and if you're patient at the plate, you can find success. And it really, because no lead is safe there, and I mean, I've seen like 13-run innings in that ballpark. No lead is safe in that ballpark. You've got the wind, the altitude, the dimensions, the insanity. It's bizarre world. But what it forces you to do is what we were just talking about. You can't change what just happened. You can't change what's going to happen in the next inning. You have to be in the moment. The only way you can win there is by every guy in that lineup and every guy who takes the mound remaining in the moment and owning that opportunity. So I think this insane losing streak that they just ended last night could actually prepare them for the mindset they need in Albuquerque to be successful. And New Mexico had a phenomenal start. The Lobos were one of the last unbeaten teams in the country. They started out 12-0. Since then, they've come down to earth as they've played tougher teams. And, you know, this is going to be, I think we're going to see three really exciting games that could go either way. And let's see how tough the adversity this young Bulldog squad has already been through has made them for this opportunity this weekend.
One of those youth players, a freshman, true freshman on this roster, if you want to just stop down and talk about him, just looking at the statistics and the production that you're getting out of a kid like Mikey Boyd is a prime example of guys stepping into a position, right? What has he provided in the lineup from what you've seen and kind of how he's been a gamer this year?
Phenomenal. Freshman All-American. He's going to be. Put it down. You could see it in the fall. At first I was like, okay, and this is no offense to Mikey. He's probably sick of me saying this. I'm like, who's the kid? You know, who's the high school kid that's playing with the Bulldogs? Because he's got such a baby face, such a young-looking guy. But, man, he swings it like a 25-year-old. He's really disciplined at the plate, really balanced, can use the entire field, right? I mean, the right field corner, the left field corner, and everything in between. Great back control. Tremendous pop. He's just got a knack for putting the bat on the ball. Some guys have that it factor, and he's that guy. Hit another bomb last night, leads the team and runs batted in, you know, hitting over 350 as a true freshman, playing every day at third base where he's gotten a lot more comfortable. You know, he got his opportunity to play because of the back injury to Cam Schneider. And the way Mikey's performed, you just can't get him out of the lineup. So Cam's starting in left field last night, right? Mikey's playing a little outfield too. He's just proven to be invaluable because of his presence at the plate. And, you know, for a true freshman to be batting second, third, fourth in the lineup and driving in runs, you don't see that very many places. Brady Hewitt's been very similar, right?
Yeah.
And he's getting more comfortable in the field. And he hit another bomb last night. And I already mentioned Marcus Nolan. And you've got some, you know, key freshmen on the mound. I think one guy that's going to have to contribute more and more because he might have the best arm on the team is Jordan Haver. Right. He's a true freshman right-hander from Oakdale. And as he settles into Division I baseball, he's gotten some big outs. He's made some big pitches. They're going to need more of him to do what they're trying to do. And it's a great opportunity for a guy to show what he's made of. You know, sometimes you really don't know what you're capable of until you're forced into a situation you didn't ask for. And there are a lot of players on this team that are being thrust into those situations a little early. But I think they're going to pass the test in the long run. And, you know, getting Griffin Sotomayor back this weekend would be a big boost. I think that's going to happen. He's certainly motivated and focused. But there's a concussion protocol issue there that he needs to clear. So, you know, if there's something you're praying for the team this weekend, there's a couple things. You're praying for our buddy Parker Hines to heal up from that appendectomy.
Yeah.
And then and Griff to get cleared from concussion protocol. He's got some stitches out of his lip. You know, his tooth situation is taken care of. Hats off to Dr. Xavier Gutierrez for taking care of him again like he has with so many Bulldogs over the years. But if Griff comes back this weekend, I think that's a huge boost to this team. He's just a tremendous leader.
Let's switch gears real quick to football now, because spring practice got going on Friday. Coach Entz had a lot of energy coming off the football field and talking to the media. The one thing that has stood out is 98 is the number of guys that were available for spring practice out of the 101 guys they are going to bring in, which Coach Entz even said it's a crazy number. He's had to deal with the roster. But, Paul, felt like first day of school. What was the excitement level like to be at that first spring practice and see the gang back together, especially all the familiar faces on that football team?
Yeah, looking forward to seeing them again tomorrow. Of course, everybody wants to look at the quarterbacks, and there's some excitement there. You know, so many people around here know Deegan Rose, know what he's capable of. I've seen what he did at the high school level and are eager to see him play. And if all goes well, you know, I think ideally you want to have him get used to the college game and the rhythm of preparation and not have to play this year. And I'm sure he's thinking, hey, let me at him. Give me a chance. And Jaden Mandel's back from surgery and competing for that job. Made some good throws the other day. I'm impressed with Jonathan Kraft from how far he's thrown from last year. And Christian Martin is a very impressive young man, right? He comes here with 3 years to play still. He's already got a bachelor's degree. Very focused, very driven. Throws a good ball. He's already built a good rapport with his teammates. So, you know, the quarterback battle we'll be talking about all spring, but I'm eager to see that offensive line this year. Braden Walton looks even better. Getting Roland Fulwood back for an extra year at the other tackle spot's huge. And looking forward to seeing what the rest of that starting O-line looks like by that season opener at USC in September.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much optimism, right, because of all the guys that stuck around and are with this roster, with this team again, and of all the kerfuffle that was going on in the offseason, these guys were staying true to this program. And what I read somewhere, the highest retention rate in one of the highest retention rate in college football. It could be a product, of course, of what Coach Entz is bringing in, but maybe a product of what the players are bringing in as well. But in my mind, you know, when you just only lose one member of the staff, it creates a whole lot of comfortability for these guys. And I thought it's so impressive that this staff is all together again. I'm eager to just jump at the idea of why this team can't possibly be any better than what it was last year based off of the retention of so many different guys. But does it amaze you? You think only one coach lost on a 9-win team. You would think there'd be more, but maybe we're still the best-kept secret in college football.
Well, and there were guys that had offers, right? I mean, I think the biggest – win for Coach Entz in that department was holding on to his defense coordinator, Nick Benedetto, because the secret's out. He's one of the best play callers on that side of the ball in America. And, you know, phenomenal leader, just great guy who his players really respect. He's got a tremendous feel, really grounded coach who I think is going to be a head coach someday and be a great head coach. To hold on to him was big. And you say, you know, only lost one, and in a way, this is no knock on Coach Crabtree, who took off. But you could, you know, make the case that that O-line coach position has been upgraded with Brian Ferentz moving over from tight end. Because Brian's got a ton of experience coaching O-line, played at a high level, coached O-line in the NFL, you know, is connected all over the country and is really going to emphasize toughness with a credibility behind it. You know, when you can say, guys, this is what you have to do. And you can call one of the guys you coached in the NFL and say, hey, you tell them. And they hear it from them. That makes a difference. So I think that's a great situation to have Coach Ferentz coaching up the O-line. That's where it all starts. That's Matt Entz's vision, is win the line of scrimmage. And I think this team this year is going to be better at winning the line of scrimmage than last year's Bulldog squad was.
Maybe you don't pick favorites, I don't know. But are there guys you're just happy to see back again? just names you want to say? That you could go down a whole list, but maybe give me like your top three, or maybe you're too afraid to give the favorites because you like everybody. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I am a big believer that you see the best in everybody.
Yeah,
and it's just a lot easier to live life that way. But no, they're, you know, Josiah Freeman getting an extra year is huge. The way he played the last few games of the year, he's a different guy. Having a quarterback that could get him the ball will be big time. Excited to see these running backs in spring ball because Speedy Luke and Bryson Donaldson aren't practicing. It means you get a good long look at everybody else. And I think Julius Gillick is a name that Bulldog fans are going to come to know. and appreciate. I can't wait to see Tavion Thunderbird back on the field this fall. But, you know, he was a game-changing player, and that was a real disappointing injury. The secondary, watch out for Keontre Harris out of Lemoore, a young corner who's put on 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason. I think is going to go down on that list as another great one here at Fresno State. And you've got some, you know, additions through the transfer portal. You know, brought in a tight end and Jake Applegate, who's turning some heads, some pass rushers in Hampston, and you know, we got a couple guys from Sac State that transferred in there. There are a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but it's going to be fun to see by the end of spring what kind of chemistry this team has, what kind of depth there is there. But you can see how driven they are. The continuity of the coaching staff that you brought up, I think, is huge. And just that, you know, that momentum that they generated by winning 9 games last year and having one of the best defenses in the country, that's something that can carry over from an identity and focus and confidence standpoint.
Well, we got another practice tomorrow. We'll be more focused on the defensive side. Should be a lot of fun to be there. Of course, this defense was so good. So I can't wait for that. Hey, one last question, just in a bigger, wider picture of a Bulldog sense, but you can sing his praises so many times, but we're excited to get another season started with Aaron Judge being in the Bay Area to start tomorrow. You know, how exciting was it to see once again him just kind of get his footprint even bigger than it already is? I don't think there's any way it can get any bigger physically or literally. But they have the World Baseball Classic, be the captain for that. Now he gets to start in California tomorrow. How excited are you for another year of Aaron Judge at the top of the baseball world?
Yeah, man. I mean, we could talk for hours about this and cue all the arson Judge jokes with him opening up by the bay. But what I loved about the WBC is, you know, we've been so impressed by Aaron for so long. You know, go back to his freshman year at Fresno State. Yeah. You knew there was something special about this guy. But more of the world, I didn't think that was possible, that more of the world would figure out who he really is and why he's so special. But I think that really happened in the WBC. You know, he's teed up as a leader. You see the influence he has on others, the example he sets, just that multiplying effect of the way he goes about everything, from interviews to batting practice to off-season work. I was just watching back a little webinar that he and Sean Casey did through the All Rise Foundation, where he's talking about some of his process and how he starts every day with a gratitude journal. You know, this is the best baseball player in the world, and I think might go down as the best baseball player who ever lived. And is he out there hyping himself up or patting himself on the back? No, he's saying, what are all the things that I have nothing to do with that I'm thankful for in my life? It's that humility, that grounded perspective, that consistency over time. That's what makes him a great leader. Coach Entz talks a lot about servant leadership. Aaron Judge is the best example in professional sports that I can see on a consistent basis of that. And I don't see that ever changing. I think his impact is only going to continue to grow.
Well, Paul, it's always great to visit with you, and I appreciate you swinging on by on this Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, sounds good. And have a good call this weekend in Albuquerque. So, all right, Paul Leffler, appreciate it as always. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, Paul Leffler, voice of the Bulldogs here on 1430 ESPN. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show next on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Georgia. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up our show, big thanks to Paul Leffler for joining us in the last segment, voice of the Bulldogs. I'll be joined by Paul Metters in about an hour and a half from now as we are going to head down to Kingsburg. Call high school baseball. Let's give out that schedule right now. Over on 790, underway, Sharks and Predators pregame. Puck drop is at 5. So, like I said, I dubbed this the most important Sharks game of the season up to this point. Got to get 2, I think. You got to get 2 here if you want to be a serious contender for the playoff spot. I think the Sharks desperately would like to get. Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D tomorrow from 2 to 3. We're going to have my show from 3 to 4:30 as we take it up to Giants pregame, 4:35. Giants home opener, Giants season opener against the New York Yankees. A reminder, we're giving away tickets right now. You have a chance still. Call right now, 559-320-1430. If you want to win some tickets to tomorrow's game, we can give it away. Still got some time, folks. Come on, folks. Anyways, I know there's some Giants fans out there. Sunbird Sports Show tomorrow, 6 o'clock, 790, 6 to 7 p.m. Paul Metters will be hosting that one. Thursday, we'll have Sports on Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 4 o'clock, 3 to 4 o'clock as we get set for March Madness tomorrow, or excuse me, Thursday. Sweet 16 action. Four games on the docket. They'll be whipping around, I believe, around the four games. I think two play concurrently, and then the two others play concurrently. So it'll be a little fun time there. Starting at 4 o'clock coverage. Sharks and St. Louis Blues at 4:30 with a pregame of 5 from St. Louis over on 790. Then Friday, no shows, no Sports on Bulldog Hour, Tony D, no Behind the Bench with me. You're going to have Giants baseball pregame at 1:05 with a 1:35 first pitch from San Francisco leading into regional semifinal day two, which is more Sweet 16 action of the NCAA tournament. We're going to join that in progress as soon as the conclusion of the Yankees-Giants game hits on 1430 over on 790. Yes, A's baseball is also back on 790. The season opener, the A's. Well, he should start right at the top, right? All right, why not? Take on the defending American League champs in Toronto. That's where the A's will begin their season. 3:30 pregame with a 4:05 first pitch. With how long is their pregame, the A's pregame?
40 minutes.
So it's a 4:10 first pitch from Toronto for yes. The A's and the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, one of the last teams, A's and Blue Jays, last teams to start their season. I think they're like the only team that starts on a Friday.
On a Friday, yeah.
Everybody's on Thursday except for the Giants, Yankees. Giants, Yankees are on Wednesday. And then the A's and Blue Jays, for some reason, start on Friday. Saturday, we'll have the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters from 10 a.m. to noon. Giants and Yankees on Saturday, 3:45 pregame with a 4:10 first pitch from San Francisco. On 790, you have the A's and the Blue Jays in the morning, 11:30 a.m. pregame with a 12:10 first pitch from Toronto. We will have March Madness following the A's game over there on 790. The only day we're going to have March Madness Elite Eight coverage over on 790 that day. Sunday. Elite Eight coverage over on 1430. That really starts at 11 a.m. It's going to be an 11 a.m. start time for the March Madness on that Elite Eight Sunday?
The Sunday, yes.
11. Okay, all right. Early matinee. They love the matinee games, don't they? So A's and Blue Jays also on Sunday. No Giants baseball on Sunday because they play that Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So I think it's the only Sunday this year the Giants don't play.
It might be, yeah.
I will guarantee you that with the scheduling quirk. And then we'll be back Monday, full 3 hours. Sports on Bulldog Hour, Tony, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 6 as the Giants head over to San Diego to take on the Padres as their first road trip. So they go home New York at San Diego, home Mets, home Phillies, and then they're back on the road again. So a little bit of a strange April for the Giants here. So. High school baseball, like I said, tonight, 6:15 pregame with a 6:30 first pitch. First high school baseball game of the year. Very excited about this broadcast. I bought my scorebook. I am ready to go. I got a defensive alignment sheet. I'm locked in, folks. 7 innings of lovely baseball ahead of you tonight from the land of kings, the Burger Kings. Not the Burger King.
The Swedish land of the Swedes.
Land of the Swedes, as they say. Or maybe they don't say it. I don't know. Still chance to win Giants tickets. 3 minutes left, folks. If you want to win some Giants tickets for tomorrow, 559-320-1430. Just got to answer one question. Pretty easy question, too. And I can send you out to San Francisco for opening day tomorrow. Do you want to hear the starting left fielders since Barry Bonds? Would you like to hear the list of starting left fielders that played for the Giants on opening day since Barry Bonds?
Let's do it.
2008, after Barry Bonds, was forcefully retired.
Forcefully.
Blackballed.
Yeah.
To end his career. L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was the opening day left fielder in 2008. 2009, you remember Fred Lewis? Remember Fred Lewis?
Kind of remember the name.
Highly touted prospect, never turned into anything.
Yeah.
How about in 2010, the U.S. manager, Mark DeRosa.
Mark DeRosa, okay.
The left fielder.
Okay.
How about 2011? We like Pat Burrell. We're a fan of Pat Burrell. Maybe not as a coach, Pat Burrell, but we like Pat Burrell.
Yeah.
World champion Pat Burrell. 2012, Aubrey Huff. We don't talk much about Aubrey Huff, nor should we.
Let's move on.
2013. I think this is one of your personal favorites, Jorge. Andres Torres.
Andres Torres?
You remember Andres Torres?
Kind of.
Kind of a spark plug guy. He was like a late 20s. He was high. He was like 29 when he came on the roster. And
okay.
Was one of those late bloomers. 2014. Remember Mike Morse?
Oh, Tall Morse.
Tall yeah. Morse. He hit that homer, yeah, I think, against either Washington or St. Louis in one of those big games.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he hit
that.
A big one that pretty much sealed it for the Giants to get to a World Series, you know, outside of Travis Ishikawa. 2015. This one I totally spaced out and forgot. Nori Aoki. Remember Nori Aoki?
Yeah.
Japanese player for the, I believe he was a Royal, joined the Giants.
He was there for a little bit, yeah.
2016, Angel Pagan.
We love Angel Pagan. I remember that.
2017, I don't remember this one. Jarrett Parker. Sounds like a Giants farmhand.
I don't remember much.
2018, they tried out Hunter Pence in left field, didn't they?
Yeah.
Tried him out.
He's a center fielder, moved on to left field.
2019, still kicking in the majors. Connor Joe. Just still okay. Hanging around. Connor Joe was a 2019 Giant. 2020, Alex Dickerson. I don't think he's still a Giant.
No.
Kind of a masher.
No, he went somewhere else. Yeah.
2021, Austin Slater. Remember Austin Slater? I think he was a Yankee last year. 2022, fan favorite Jock Peterson.
I remember Jock Peterson.
Got his clock worked in 2022 when he got punched in the face by Tommy Pham in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
2023, no one was going to get this. Blake Sable. 2024, Michael Conforto.
Yep.
Who then went to the Dodgers and became a good player again. And the answer to the trivia question I was asking everyone, you know him, you love him, Elliot Ramos, who will start consecutively in left field for the first time since Barry Bonds did in 2006-2007.
Elliot Ramos. I don't know why, like, in my head I was thinking, like, yeah, it's somebody else, but no, it was Elliot Ramos.
Elliot Ramos.
Yeah.
All right, folks, 6:15 pregame over right here on 1430. CVC Kingsburg High School Baseball. Tune in then. We'll be back tomorrow for another show. 3:00. We'll see you then.